have an idea for an intro to this? I don't.
Oh, this is Halloween. This is Halloween. Everyone listen to the podcast, King. You know, like from Nightmare Before Christmas. This is Halloween. This is Halloween. Everyone listen to the podcast, King. No?
I've never actually seen Nightmare Before Christmas, so okay. This is Halloween. This is Halloween. Everybody listen to the podcast, King.
Beautiful.
It's the Stupid Sexy Podcast Halloween Special.
Should we say Pumpcast? No, we shouldn't, because that sounds like porn.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's not a pumpcast. Welcome, everybody, to a very special bonus episode of the Stupid Sexy Podcast. First of all, over there, she's feeling very spooky. She's probably in a coven. It's Heather Anderson.
And over there, he's a spooky, spooky old dude. It's Alan Irwin.
Old dude? I'm only like 4 years older than you.
I said old. Well, and you're a dude. And you're spooky.
I put a spell on you.
Terrifying.
So I'm doing Hocus Pocus. Anyway, welcome everybody to a very special episode. This week, we're doing something a little bit different where we've each picked part of an Astray House of Horror episode that we particularly like and we're going to chat about it. Isn't that right, Heather?
That's right, Alan. That's right, so it is.
That's right. So I think you should go first because yours is chronologically earlier. Yours is from season 4, episode 1. Now,
yes.
Do you want to tell people what it is, first of all, and why you picked it?
Yes, I chose Clown Without Pity. So it's the one essentially just where there's the crusty doll that tries to kill Homer, and I really like it.
It's all right, you don't need to do a synopsis. I've prepared one.
Oh, okay. I wasn't aware of that, so I just jumped the gun. Woo!
All right, Ric Flair. Woo!
I like the episode because it's simple but effective and it's fucking funny. I love it so much. Okay. I love that Krusty's a little pervert doll as well. It just makes me laugh.
Will I do my synopsis then?
You can synopsisize as you want.
Okay. Season 4, Episode 5, Treehouse of Horror 3, Segment 1, Clown Without Pity. After forgetting Bart's birthday, Homer resorts to buying a present from Springfield's Shop of Evil. While Bart is delighted with the talking Krusty doll that Homer purchases, the toy may house a sinister personality that could cost Homer his life.
Ooh,
and was it as good as you remembered it being?
Yeah, I think it's a very underrated section, to be honest.
It was better than it's a long time I've seen that, and it's better than I remember it being.
It's one of those ones where there's some really good lines in it, and little spooky guy, some frozen yogurt. Because that's the thing, whenever we were discussing Treehouse of Horror last season, we were chatting about the monkey paw one, weren't we? And I thought it was just interesting that you were like, oh, it's better than I thought it was, and you mistook the opening part of that episode for the bit in Monkey Paw,
which is probably why I didn't think it was as good, because I didn't associate it with the correct thing. So we start off, Grandpa's given the family money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, giving Bart money rather, for his birthday, and he gives Bart like a grand.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's money from the government. I didn't earn it, but if they ever don't pay it, they'll be held to pay. And Bart turns to Homer and is like, what did you get me for my birthday, Dad? And he goes, don't worry, son. So he decides to go and bam. He goes to the Shop of Evil, which mm-hmm. is so random, which is controlled by a guy who, like, he's blue skinned.
Yes.
But also looks a bit like Ming the Merciless.
Yeah.
Very. And also, like, what do you call your man who does the five-finger death punch in Kill Bill? Pai Mei.
Yes. I actually have a couple of bits of trivia about this episode as well.
Go ahead.
So in general, the section's a parody of the Twilight Zone's episode Living Doll, Gremlins, and the Child's Play franchise. So we've got another reference to the Twilight Zone. This is also the first Treehouse of Horror episode to contain a couch gag. And it's the Simpsons family of skeletons, obviously. And my last piece of trivia is that this is the first Treehouse of Horror special to have the closing credits shown in green typeface instead of yellow. And it's also the final one to have the credits shown over a still from the episode rather than playing over a scene or just a black screen.
Ooh, that's good trivia. So the guy sells Homer the doll of Krusty, but he's like, it's cursed, but you get a free Frogurt with it.
That's a good thing.
Which is also cursed. Oh, that's bad. He's like, but you get to choose your toppings. Oh, that's good. But it contains this like benzamine eighth weight or something. He's like, that's bad. So what are your thoughts on Frogurt generally?
Honestly, get fucked.
Yeah, just have an ice cream. I understand if you're lactose intolerant, but then you couldn't eat frozen yogurt anyway, so that's stupid. Don't know if I said that. Don't have it.
I mean, in warm weather or whatever, like in the summer and stuff, I'll be partial to like a little yogurt bowl, you know, like a wee bowl of yogurt with some cereal or granola, a wee bit of fruit or something like that. But that's a breakfast thing and it's not frozen. Don't try and make something that's healthy into a dessert. And don't try to make a dessert healthy, you know?
I 100% agree.
And like, I say that as someone who's made brownies with like sweet potato and shit in them. That's not me trying to make it healthy. I just want to see if it works.
Off.
I just want to see if it works and if they're tasty. I'm still putting in like a full fucking pack of butter.
Were they tasty?
Yeah, they were delicious.
Yeah, but that's in spite of the sweet potato rather than because of.
Yeah, I just like to see what works, you know?
What do you think a cursed Froggurt is? Is it just Froggurt? Like there's no ice cream available? That's the curse.
I think a cursed Froggurt is one that will make you only like Froggurt from there on. And then you'll be destined to lose your family and friends.
That sounds about right, yeah. So Bart's having his birthday party. And Milhouse is doing pin the tail on the donkey against the front door, and Homer comes in and smashes Milhouse against the wall.
I love that bit, it's so funny.
And so he gives Bart the talking Krusty doll, which Bart is delighted with, and Grandpa goes, "That present is evil!" And Marge is like, "You said that about all the presents." And Grandpa goes, "I just want attention."
I love him so
poor
much.
Grandpa. So Homer's hanging out with the doll.
As you do.
And he like pulls its drawstring, and it's like, "I want to murder you, Homer Simpson." And he tries to kill him with a big knife. And he tries to tell his family that they're killing him. And Bart has a great line where he's like, "I would say Dad's cracking under the pressure, but what pressure?" So Homer like is convinced this doll's trying to kill him. At one point, he's having a nice bath. "My baloney has a first name.
It's H-O-M-E-R. My baloney has a second name. It's H-O-M-E-R.
Yeah. And it comes and tries to kill him again. And he runs through the kitchen naked. And then Patty says, "Well, there goes the last hint of my heterosexuality." Which I haven't seen the episode in question, but I know that at some point she comes out.
Oh, right? Okay.
So that's the first hint that she is not straight.
Wow. Queer icon, whichever twin it was.
Patty.
Queer icon, Patty.
Patty. You know, whenever Skinner's like, "Patty."
Oh, that turns me.
So Homer decides, right, he gets the doll, he puts him in a bag of his old socks that are so noxious that Krusty passes out.
Mm-hmm.
Bucks him into a case, which he then covers in chains, and he throws into a bottomless pit. And then the mafia guy comes along and throws a dead body into the bottomless pit.
Yeah.
And then the guy goes, "I don't know why anybody thought we'd buy naked photos of Whoopi Goldberg." And he throws it into the pit and the
and
box
the pit
comes
throws
back.
It back.
Now, that's a funny joke, but also it is very mean.
It's very mean, yeah.
Poor Whoopi. She's a lovely woman. Also, she's named after the cushion. So
you're very pleased with that, aren't you?
I am, yeah. So the Krusty doll then attacks.
I love that little Cape Fear reference as well, where he's like
what one?
Tied under the car.
Oh yes, that is very funny. So Krusty's under the car. He gets back to the house. He attacks Homer again. Marge, for the first time, sees the doll attack Homer. So she phones the helpline. And she's like, "Your doll is trying to kill my husband." "Yes, I'll hold." And then the music is like, "Everybody loves a clown, so why don't you?" Oh, eventually, the technician arrives. And he's like, "Oh, here's your problem. Somebody's got this thing set to evil." Now, was that Raphael or did it just...
That's what I thought. It was the same voice.
"Somebody's got this thing set to evil." So he changes it to good and all of a sudden Krusty's like doing work for Homer. He's a great dog.
Yeah. That is my favourite thing to say whenever I fuck up in a really stupid way. I'm like, "Ooh, this Wi-Fi router is set to evil." You know?
So then Krusty comes home from a long night at working at Homer's. And he gets into the dollhouse, sits beside Malibu Stacy, and he's like, it's worth it when it comes home to you." And then her head falls off.
Bless him.
Oh. And that's the whole segment. This is the thing this week. They're very short segments.
They are, yeah.
Well, Heather, it lived up to your expectations.
Yeah, I love it very much. Yeah.
It's very funny. Like,
it's very, very
it
good.
Just
I just, it's one of those ones, I think it's my favourite one as well, because like, it's not like the obvious one, and I don't mean that in like, I'm not like the other girls, I'm quirky kind of a way. I'm just like, I haven't got bored of it yet because I haven't seen it too many times.
Yeah.
Because it's no 100%. One really seems to reference it other than the, that's good, that's bad.
You know yourself, it's like, I would say season 4 is one of the best seasons.
Yeah.
But people generally, if they're talking about the classic season, will start at like 6.
Yeah. No,
so it often,
sure.
it's a little bit too early to get into the conversation, so people don't watch it nearly as much, I think.
Overlooked.
So what are you going to give it out of 5?
Out of five, five.
I'm going to go with four.
Fair.
It's better than I remember. I wouldn't say it's a classic, but it's very funny.
I like it.
And by the standards of like classic Simpsons, I'm going to give it a four. So that's pretty good. So that's four and a five. That's 9 out of 10.
That's not too shabby.
Pretty fucking good. Not too shabby, baby.
Pretty fucking good.
Well done to Krusty, the evil doll boy thing. So will we move swiftly on to my selection?
We shall.
Which is from season 8, episode 1, Citizen Kang. Would you like to hear my synopsis?
Yes, I would.
Okay, here we go. Season 8, Episode 1, Treehouse of Horror 7, Segment 3, Citizen Kang. Homer's fishing trip is rudely interrupted when he's abducted by aliens who go on to capture and impersonate Bill Clinton and Bob Dole ahead of the 1996 presidential election. Can Homer convince a skeptical world that the candidates are phonies before one of them gets elected to the highest office in the land?
Dun 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 dun.
So what do you think of this one?
I fucking love this segment.
I love it so much. Like, there was jokes that I didn't... I've been so long if I say that there was jokes I now I get that I didn't get.
Yeah.
And like, oh, Jesus Christ, it's great. Let's fucking get into it, shall we?
Yeah.
So Homer is fishing on an empty lake. And he's like, do you know what? It's so relaxing. It doesn't even matter if I catch a fish. And he's like, you stupid fish, take the bait. And I'm with him. I don't understand the point of going fishing if you're not going to catch a fish.
I know.
Teach a man to fish. You'll feed him for a lifetime.
My favourite one is teach a man to fish and then a week later... Later, he'll try to teach you and act like he never actually learned it from you.
A week later?
Shut up.
That's very funny, to be fair. So, Homer is just sitting there, then he's abducted by aliens. Now, I'm just going to say this for the record. Kang and Kodos's drool is really horrible.
Oh, it's horrific. Also, did you notice that Kang introduces Kodos as his sister?
Yeah, Kodos was female.
Amazing. But, like, it's always, like... Every other episode refers to Kodos as a he.
Does it?
Yeah. A non-binary icon. Any pronoun goes, baby.
Maybe they're like the frogs in Jurassic Park.
Maybe.
Watch out for those raptors. They're fucking each other. That's what happens. Okay, so they're like, Homer, take it. Well, Homer thinks they want to anal probe him, but they don't want to.
No.
But he still has his big butt out. And then they're like, right, take us to your leader. And he goes, well, you probably meet Bill Clinton, but there's an election next week. So it could be that other guy, Johnny, what's his, I saw him on TV.
Mumbly Joe.
Bob Dole. And I just want to point out for the record, as a politics nerd, I've written this down. He was like, he wasn't sure who's going to be leader. Well, Dole lost by 8.5%. in the polls, and he only got 159 electoral votes to Clinton's 379, so it was never really in doubt, lads. Come on. It was definitely going to be Clinton. Dole's leaving the Republican National Committee, and they're like, good luck next week, Senator. And he's abducted, and he goes, Bob Dole doesn't need this. And then they go to the White House and abduct Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, what's happening? Is it noon already? Because Bill Clinton famously always slept in. Because he used to work really late at night.
Yeah.
So I think that's very funny. I'm sorry, I'm sure you know this stuff, but not everybody listening might.
No, I didn't.
And then Homer has this great line where he's like, I can't remember the first bit, but he goes, nude conspiracies, Lyndon LaRouche was right. Who was like a famous conspiracy theorist that ran for president a lot of times. So what they do is they put Dole and Clinton into like, it's like a Bacta tank in Star Wars. It's like a stasis.
Yeah.
So they're like frozen in time and then they become them. And then they spray Homer with rum so that nobody will believe the story, which is a very clever plot, actually.
It's a very clever plot.
Although I don't like that Bard identified the smell as rum.
I know.
That's a bit worrying.
But then is that not also a thing, like a generalised term for someone who smells like alcohol? You can be a wino or a rummy.
That could be. That's probably a fair point, actually. So then Marge is watching the TV and Clinton's like, I hope next week will be an orderly election which will forego the need for a bloodbath. And she's like, that's Slick Willy for you. Always with the smooth talk. I love as well, so Homer comes in and he immediately lies. He's like, Marge, you won't believe this. I just caught the biggest fish you'll ever see in your life. And I was abducted by aliens. So nobody believes him because he is a big rummy. So Homer's like, well, I have to prove this somehow. So we go to a lovely, we basically get a microcosm of the abortion debate with Dole.
It
has a builder's helmet on at the time.
Abortions for all.
Boo.
All right, abortions for none.
Boo.
Oh, abortions for some, miniature American flags for others.
Hey. But then there's a bit where they're walking down holding hands and one of Clinton's advisors is like, sir, we're a bit concerned. He goes, we're merely exchanging long protein strings. If you have a better method, I'd like to hear it. So we go to the debate in Springfield, which is lovely and low rent. Like, it's $5 in. It's in the town hall. On it, there's no moderator or anything. Do you notice, like, so when Clinton says this thing about, like, forward, not upward, backward, not forward, and always twirling towards freedom. I thought it was a nice touch. Everybody but Lisa claps, because Lisa knows that's nonsense. She's this fucking smart one. So Homer breaks in and tries to interrupt the debate and is like, no, these are killers or whatever. And then the Secret Service stop and he grabs the flagpole and pokes them away, but they throw him out. And then the Secret Service is like, don't forget your stinking flag.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. Like, just fucking the American flag out there. Oh. So Homer is panicking. He doesn't know what to do. He's walking about and he discovers the spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
Hidden behind a hedge. So he goes in and he releases the candidates from stasis. And Clinton has a nice line where he goes, oh no, I don't want to serve out my rest of my term naked in a tube. So basically there's a nice moment where they agree that partisanship is ruining America and they need to work together to solve the nation's problems, which, to be honest, still is fucking true because, God, it's a mess. Bipartisanship is the order of the day until Homer hits the wrong button and ejects them into space. And then they go, for like a second and then just float away dead. So Homer hits another button, which makes him crash into the Capitol building.
Mm-hmm. And all the wee steps.
It shows you Bob Dole going, like, he's like, vote for Senator Bob Dole. Like, he forgets the name of the candidate. So Homer comes in, he's like, take one last look at your candidates. They're nothing but alien space mutants. And he pulls their heads off, and it's Kang Kodos.
I have a piece of trivia about this, which is... somebody wrote this on the Simpsons Wikipedia references page, so you can't shout at me. When Homer unmasks the presidential candidates, everyone has the same reaction as Scooby-Doo and his gang when they rip off the masks of the villains. I'm not even being funny. That was
Fox, so. Fucking Scooby, don't.
I also have one.
Oh yeah, sorry, I'm the boring one. Tell me what you're going to say.
Also, sorry, this was, I meant to say this about the couch gag. I thought this was very convenient. Well, not convenient. I was like, oh my goodness. So the Grim Reaper from the couch gag for this episode is the same Grim Reaper as appears in Treehouse of Horror 14.
Oh, that's cool. Isn't it? Cool bit of trivia. So the aliens are revealed, but they're like, look, it's a two-party system. You have to vote for one of us. And they're all like, he's right. It's a two-party system. And then somebody goes, well, I believe I'll vote for a third-party candidate. Go ahead. Throw your vote away. And then it cuts to Ross Perot, who ran in 1986, putting his fist through his hat. And the noise that Ross Perot makes is exactly the way Ross Perot sounded. Like, nyeh,
nyeh.
Naft is bad. Nyeh. You know. So, you familiar with Big Ross?
Well, not familiar, but I know of him. So familiar.
Yeah, he ran twice. Yeah, he ran this one. He didn't. He wasn't
successful. He ran so far away
to stop the free trade. That's such a nerdy song. So yeah, let's have a quick look at. So Ross ran in 1992,
mm-hmm.
and he got into the debates.
Ooh.
Right. Which is, as an independent. And he finished with 18.9% of the vote.
Ooh.
It's pretty good. At Ooh. One point he led the polls, but he fucked that right up. And then in 1996, he didn't get into the debates, he got 8.4%. Still pretty good. Like, that's 8 million people voted for him. He's dead now.
It's not bad.
So. And he went, meh, NAFTA.
I also have another, just to keep up with the fact that maybe Simpsons Wikipedia should be kept by people who aren't fucking idiots. There's also a piece of trivia here that says Kang and Kodos are actually ineligible to become US president because neither are natural born citizens of the United States.
Oh, for fuck up. Fuck right off. How about that? How about fuck right off?
Fuck away off.
Fuck away off. Right, so then after the reveal, it becomes, isn't it, Kang is elected president. and they've enslaved the American population to build a laser beam to fire at another planet.
Mm-hmm.
And Marge gets whipped. And then it finishes with Homer uttering the immortal words. What does he say, Heather?
I can't remember.
Don't blame me. I voted for Kodos. And he gets whipped in, and then the episode ends. And that is the end of that segment. So, Heather, what do you think? How did it compare to what you was in your brain?
I love it. It truly does not age. Wait, no, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? I can't remember. But yeah, I love it. It's very, very good.
So I know I'm glad as well, because I'm a bit of a politics nerd, so I was worried that I like it so much because it's a politics thing. But
no,
like,
it's really, really funny.
Yeah, it's fun. So what are you going to give it out of five?
Five.
I'm going to give it a five too. That's our first ever
baby.
10.
tens across the board.
So that's going to do it for our little insight into classic Treehouse of Horror. Two great segments that I can't imagine you haven't seen before, but if you haven't, go back and watch them. And do you know what? Even if you have, go back, because they are fucking great.
Tell us we're wrong, I dare you. I just wanted to threaten the listeners in the spirit of this Hallowed Eve. Hallow's Eve?
Good.
Hallow Eve!
So if you are the sort of person who wants to do something spooky today, go do it and enjoy it. I'm all spookied out. But Heather, do you have any parting words of wisdom for our listeners?
Spook hard or go home, witches.
Good. So that'll do it for the first ever Stupid Sexy Podcast Halloween special. I'm sure we'll do this again next year. I'm sure we'll be back with a Christmas special this year as well, I would like to think. But until then, we'll be back on Wednesday with Season 15, Episode 2, My Mother the Carjacker. But until then, I've been Alan Irwin.
I've been Heather Anderson.
And we will see you on the other side. Don't open the door to any monsters!
Bye!